us, we turn our heart to you. Amen. We thank you for this time.
Amen.
Lord, we fully depend on you.
Amen.
Oh, that you would speak this morning.
Amen.
That you would speak out of your word.
Amen.
Lord, we do look to you.
Amen.
That you would show us the great value of the land. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We commit this time to you.
Amen.
In your precious name.
Right.
Amen.
First of all, saints, I want to state that I'm standing before you because of the Lord's loving care for me, but also because of your prayers for me.
Amen.
I'm very thankful. The Lord's been good. You may be scratching your head. Where did we get these verses? And what are these verses for? Right? Numbers 27. 3 and 4. And then starting from verse 3, you have no idea who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I did that on purpose, because if you read verse 1, there's all kinds of names there. And maybe we don't know how to pronounce some, and we might be distracted. But basically what it is, I would like to point out two aspects or two points concerning the importance of the good land to the people of Israel. That's what the first two portions are about. So here we have a case of five sisters whose father did not have any boy children, any males. And according to a statute of the law, in order for surviving children to inherit the lot assigned to the father, they would have to be males. The women had no right in this. So that's what the daughters of Zelophehad were asking. You know, they were asking for what? Give us, and at the end of verse 4, give us a possession among our father's brothers. That sounds very selfish. They want a possession. They only care for themselves. They don't care for anything else. Well, if you read verse 4, you will realize that's not the case. Why should our father's name be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So here we see, according to the law, daughters could not inherit the land of their deceased father. And here's the point. Because they could not inherit the allotted portion of the father's name would be wiped out from the people of Israel. So this is the point. You have no land, you have no name. My goodness, that is pretty strong. So this was the situation. So that's why I bring these strange verses. And actually, later on, we see that actually Moses went to the Lord to ask God, okay, what do we do here? And in Numbers chapter 36, verses 2 and 3 and 6 and 7, we don't have time to read these. The Lord said, it's okay, it is acceptable for the daughters of Zelophehad to inherit the land, the allotted portion of their father. But there was a very strict requirement. They had to marry in their tribe. This is something we could apply to us today. And I would like to mention this to all the young people who are single. Yes, we have to marry in our own tribe. What is our tribe? Christ and the church. Then, the importance of the land is also seen in Leviticus. As you can see, I'm not doing so well. In Leviticus 25:10, what does it speak? It speaks of the Jubilee. Every 50 years there was to be a Jubilee in the people of Israel. And in verse 10 it says, and you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Amen. Shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession. And each of you shall return to his family. Amen. Everyone in the people of Israel was allotted a portion. However, there was a requirement that they labor on the land. What if they didn't labor on the land? Eventually, they become poor. Eventually, they have to sell their land. Eventually, they become a slave to someone else. But when the Jubilee came, they could return to their possession. Each of you shall return to his family. So I hope you are impressed concerning the importance of the land to the people of Israel. And now we finally come to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. And Jehovah appeared to Abraham and said, to your seed I will give this land. And there he built an altar to Jehovah who had appeared to him. So here we see God's promise to Abraham. Here we also see for the fulfillment of God's purpose, for the fulfillment of what God desires, we need two things. We need the seed and we need
the land. This is the requirement. Now, both the seed and the land typify Christ. As the Lord Jesus mentioned to the disciples on their way to Emmaus, or rather, on their way back from Emmaus to Jerusalem, that the whole Old Testament testified of him. So that is why the seed and the land signify the Lord Jesus. Now, what does the seed signify? The seed signifies Christ in us. And what does the land signify? Us in Christ. So we could say that in the land applied to us, we live in Christ and we live on Christ. And we will see at the very end in the portion in Genesis 15, which I didn't give the brothers, we will see that actually Abraham did believe the promise concerning the seed. But he did not believe the promise concerning the land. He told the Lord, "And what am I going to know that my seed will inherit?" So we'll see later that God was forced to make a covenant so that Abraham would believe. Well, you might say, well, what is this? Live in Christ, live on Christ. We're just playing on words or what? Actually not. Live in Christ refers to Christ being our life. Live on Christ refers to Christ being our supply. The riches of Christ being our enjoyment. I have to confess, in the past, as I mentioned Friday, I didn't appreciate very much the description of the land and the application of the land, the mountains, the rivers, the valleys, all these things. I didn't quite see their application. But one day the Lord spoke to me and he told me clearly the whole point about the land is if you are in the good land of Israel, you're nowhere else. Right? We cannot be in two places at once. So to me, this is a picture that this is what God desires of us. That we would be on Christ. That Christ would be our daily living. So I was much helped by that. Then I realized, this is not just doctrine, not just teaching, but is a reality. But just like Abraham had a little problem concerning the promise of the land, we also have a little problem concerning the application of the land as our being on Christ. I believe we have no problem realizing concerning the seed that Christ is in us.
We all believe this. However, for us to live a daily living in Christ, maybe we don't believe so much. At least it's not so easy for us to apply. So as believers, we not only have received Christ into us as a seed, but we are called to walk in Him. Tell me, can you walk in a person? I don't think so. But we can walk in a land. Walk in Him means Christ to be our realm. Actually, this is a central message of the book of Colossians. And that brings us to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Very interesting. Here, Paul doesn't say, giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to be with the saints in the light. He said, for a share of the allotted portion. To me, it's quite clear. This is a reference to Israel, where everyone was allotted a portion of the land. So here we see God's promise to Abraham with respect to the good land is of great significance, because in this verse, no doubt that Paul had reference to the allotment of the land to the people of Israel. So, because Paul used the expression allotted portion, God gave the chosen people, the people of Israel, the good land for their inheritance and enjoyment. Actually, the land meant everything to them. Not just a place to live, not just a place to maybe enjoy some fruit trees, right? Everybody had a fig tree. There, I don't remember the verse, but there's a verse about people of Israel sitting under the fig tree. So we need to see that the land of Israel meant everything to the people of Israel. Christ as our land means everything to us. We need to see this. We need to see how important Christ is to us. Because in the type, the land provided everything the people of Israel needed. There was milk, honey, water, cattle, grain, minerals. We don't have time to read these portions, but if you would like to write them down, the first six cases of God speaking to Abraham are primarily related to the land. The first time in Ur of the Chaldeans is in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. The second one in Genesis 12, 1 and 3. Genesis 12, 1 and 3. The third one, the one we read, Genesis 12,
7. The fourth one, Genesis 13, 14 to 17. The fifth one, Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6 are about the seed, but 7 to 21 are about the land. And finally, the sixth time is Genesis 17, where Jehovah made a covenant with Abraham in order to strengthen him to believe the promise concerning the land. So, since the first six cases of God speaking to Abraham referred to the land, I believe we can safely assume that the land was the most important matter in God's promise to Abraham. Then we go on to chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6. As therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him. To walk in Christ implies that Christ is the land, Christ is the territory where we can live, act, behave, and have our being. That's the meaning of to walk. We should walk, live, and act in Christ so that we may enjoy his riches, just as the children of Israel lived in the good land and enjoyed all its rich produce. So here we have another aspect, the aspect of enjoyment. It's not a matter just of living, but as we live on Christ, we enjoy him and we enjoy all his riches. So in our experience, Christ should be the good land in which we live and walk, not merely just a doctrine to us. So we need to pray, Lord, I want to live. I want to walk in you. Lord, I pray that you would be the good land to me in my experience. Amen. And the Lord will surely do it. Then Colossians 2:7 says, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We can only cover the beginning of the verse. Having been rooted and being built up in him. So here we see that in addition to walking in him, we are rooted in him. So here Paul considers us plants planted in Christ as the soil. So if we have been rooted in Christ properly, what happens? Well, we won't discuss about the ground of the church. You will say, come on. What's the picture of us being plants have to do with the ground of the church? What is the ground of the church? The ground of the church is the ground of oneness. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4. The ground of oneness. And the base of this oneness is the one Spirit, the one Lord, and the God and Father of us all. This is the base. And for this, if we've been truly rooted in Christ, in our experience, He will be the base of our oneness. So, we should live in Christ and on Christ. In the Lord's Recovery, we don't emphasize outward behavior. We don't emphasize that we need to have a good Christian behavior. But don't get confused. I'm not saying we shouldn't have good behavior, but outward behavior. This is the point. Our behavior has to be an expression of what we are inside, not an effort of the flesh. We don't emphasize that, but we do emphasize our experience of Christ, our experiencing Him in our daily living, in our daily life. And then, if we live that way, we would be the proper members of the church. And the church would be the proper church, which will also be the kingdom, where God can dwell, where God can defeat His enemies, and where God can be expressed. So here we have the fulfillment of Genesis 1:26. This is for what we have been created. So then that brings us to Galatians 3:14. This is a key verse. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here it doesn't say receive the promise of the land, but it does say receive the promise of the Spirit, which shows us that for us today, the blessing of Abraham is the Spirit. This is what we need to live in and to live on. This is the blessing promised to Abraham, the life-giving Spirit, who actually is the triune God process in His Trinity, so that He can reach us, so that He can be dispensed into us. And this process was through incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and descension in the time of the creation of the first church at Pentecost. So that way we can receive God as everything to us. Therefore, this verse 14 is very crucial, very important. This blessing refers to the good land, but to us it refers to the Spirit. The fulfillment of the blessing to Abraham is the all-inclusive Spirit. This is actually confirmed by Galatians 5:16, where Paul charges us to walk by the Spirit, to walk by the all-inclusive Spirit. And then Romans 8:4 tells us to walk by
the human spirit. What's the difference? There's no difference. Because the all-inclusive spirit lives in us, dwells in us. And according to 1 Corinthians, 6:17, we are one spirit with the Lord. So then we have a mingled spirit. When we are in our human spirit, we're also in the all-inclusive spirit. And although some of these verses refer to the mingled spirit, it refers more to the all-inclusive spirit of God. So, actually, we find here in Galatians 5:16 tells us, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh." Paul was very bold. He tells us, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wonderful. So here we see we only have two possibilities, not three. Either we walk in the flesh or we walk in the Spirit. There's no middle ground. So how crucial, how important is to walk in the Spirit. So again, the word walk includes everything we do and say. So we have only the two choices. But because of Christ's redemption and the Spirit's regeneration, we can walk in the Spirit. We do not have to walk in the flesh. We do not have to obey the flesh at all. So, we thank the Lord for this possibility. Everything has been done for this, right? God has gone through the whole process for this. Now it's up to us. We have the possibility of walking by this wonderful person rather than by our fallen being. It is possible to do this. It is really possible. And we need to pray that we would be those walking in the Spirit. The way to overcome sin, the way to deal with our temper, the way to deal with everything negative, everything that's not Christ, is to walk by the Spirit. We can deal with everything in us that's not according to God, and we can defeat Satan, who is always around trying to get the wrong kind of thoughts in us, trying to trip us over. If we're in the Spirit, he has no way at all. This is so wonderful. This is so precious that every need has been met so that we can do this. Also, when we walk by the Spirit, we have the Lord's leading, and that is so precious also. The Lord's leading not only in big things, when we face great decisions,
but also
in the way we talk.
Talk to others. And the land being Christ also can be applied to the church, because the church is the enlargement, the expansion of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. Then that brings us finally to the last portion, the one I didn't tell the brothers about, Genesis 15, 7 to 9 and 18. Here God made a covenant with Abraham, as we mentioned before. This shows that God is faithful, that he will do what he has promised. So he has accomplished this covenant with Abraham. And he also has accomplished a new covenant with us. In Matthew, when the Lord established the first Lord's table, what did he say? This is the blood of the covenant. We also have received a covenant. In Romans 6:6, it tells us clearly that our old man has been crucified. Please listen. Listen attentively. This is not a doctrine. This is a fact. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. This is a fact that our old man has been crucified. So, like Brother Lee said once, when he realized the flesh was rising up in him, he said, "How come you're here? Go back to the grave. Again, this is a fact. Do we realize this? This is a divine reality. And all the New Testament, the New Covenant, is not telling us what to do. It's telling us what Christ has already done. This is God's covenant. If we look at ourselves, forget it. It will never happen. But the Lord is in us. The Spirit is in us. And God has accomplished everything that is needed. And Christ has become the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. As the all-inclusive land, this will never change. The covenant will never change. You know, sometimes maybe we get up and we don't feel good. Maybe we feel like burnt toast. But other times, maybe we feel like a cherry pie. Makes no difference how we feel when we get up. The covenant has been accomplished. So, do we need philosophy? No. Do we need religion? No. Do we need to be carried away? No. We need the covenant. The covenant was made with Abraham was a covenant of promise fulfilled through God's power and God's grace, not our power or our grace. The New Testament is a continuation of the first covenant with Abraham, not the covenant on Mount Sinai, but the promise sealed by a covenant. So, what does this indicate? That we must be crucified in Christ. Crucifixion and resurrection in Christ. Not our own crucifixion, not our own mortification, but Christ's crucifixion. And then,
If we depend and believe the divine facts, God will have a way to use us, to work in us, to be expressed. How we thank the Lord for this. Now, Brother Dennis has the announcement.
Just a few short announcements. I think many of us know that this week coming, starting on Monday night, the saints will arrive. We will have the second week of the Summer School of Truth. So we need to pray for this very much, and I know many of you will open your homes for hospitality to receive the young people for this week. The Summer School will end this year. The second week will end Saturday afternoon after the morning session. And then on the Lord's Day, we will have the Flushing District come and join us again. Praise the Lord for that. So we will be together on the Lord's Day. We also need to pray very much for that time of fellowship on the Lord's Day with Flushing. This week, we will go on in our fellowship related to, we're going to cover this portion when Abraham fought for his nephew Lot, so fighting for the brother. You can get the morning watch sheets before you leave. And now we would like to, oh, nothing else, right? That was it for the summer school, right? Now we would like to pray before we go into our language meetings for the prophesying. So let's spend a few minutes to pray together. And those who are going to the prophesying meetings, you can go, okay? Amen.